This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
To Republicans lately, he is the rallier in chief. The president holding another Make America Great Again rally last night, this one in Columbia, Missouri, telling the crowd as he discusses North Korea.
We would be in a nuclear war right now if the right person didn't come along. So we're doing well.
And focusing a lot of his remarks on another issue.
The president talking about his top priority, securing the border and not allowing people in the caravan into our country.
USA Radio's Robin Walensky there. The NFL's San Francisco 49ers won't identify a cheerleader who took a knee during the national anthem before last night's game against Oakland. The movement of players taking a knee started with the Niners when former QB for the team Colin Kaepernick started doing it back in 2016. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
The October jobs report released just minutes ago, and it's better than analysts were expecting. It shows the economy adding about 250,000 jobs last month. Analysts were expecting about 208,000 jobs to be added. The nation's unemployment rate holding steady at 3.7%. New York state lawmakers want a law that checks for hate speech or violent threats in someone's online activity before they can be allowed to buy a gun. It would authorize state and local police to go over 3 years of a person's social media postings and 1 year of internet searches as part of a gun background check. This after the recent deadly synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, funeral services are scheduled in Pittsburgh today for the oldest person killed in that massacre, 97-year-old Rose Malinger. Remember, you can always find us online. We're at usaradio.com.
Look, you've heard me talking for a year about how much I love MyPillow. You can get one, too. And now it's a better deal than ever. You go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, use promo code USA. You'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price plus shipping. And don't forget, now you have until March 1st to return it if you're not absolutely in love with it. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. But do it now.
Dodge City, Kansas will not have to open a second polling station because a federal judge concedes there's just not enough time before Election Day to do so. The ACLU led a lawsuit asking for a second location in that town after the clerk moved the only polling station for a city of 13,000 residents outside city limits and at least a mile from the closest bus stop. The clerk said she moved it from the usual in-city site because construction was scheduled to start near that building in late October, but as of yesterday, no such construction had begun. Vice President Mike Pence and Oprah Winfrey were both stumping for candidates for governor of Georgia yesterday.
I heard Oprah's in town today. And I heard Will Ferrell was going door to door the other day. Well, I'd like to remind Stacey and Oprah and Will Ferrell, I'm kind of a big deal too.
Vice President Mike Pence there as he was campaigning for Republican gubernatorial hopeful Brian Kemp. Not far away, Oprah Winfrey was lending her star power to Stacey Abrams' Democratic run.
She's a woman who dared believe that she could change the state of Georgia. And she is dynamic. She is so...
And reminding you again that Daylight Savings ends this coming weekend. We'll set our clocks an hour back, effective 2 a.m. Sunday. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and over there is John Stonestreet, the president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host. John, always good to be talking to you. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks.
Well, lots happening in the news. We've got a migrant caravan heading north to our border. The president has sent 5,000 soldiers, military, to support the efforts of Border Patrol. This really is bringing to the point of our dysfunctional immigration system, is it not?
Well, I mean, obviously this whole problem goes back a long way before the president, and goes back to also which part of the government is supposed to solve this problem,
right?
Which isn't supposed to be the executive branch at all, other than when it comes to national security interests. So this is a big old mess, and of course you've got part of the story being told on the left and part of the story being told on the right of exactly who this caravan is, and who's a part of it. And of course, even that question itself is changing day in and day out. What we've seen, though, is that too many of the loudest voices are those that are hijacked by higher agendas. And so I think that's really one of the problems that we're facing, is that, you know, as Christians, we're committed to this idea that every single person is made in the image and likeness of God. And that includes both the immigrant and the native. That includes both the one that's in the country and the one that wants to get to the country. And unless we start with a better framework and fix some of the problems that we've had in the past, then this is going to be a political ping pong ball, and that's what it really already has become across the board.
Well, John, we were talking about this the other day. You know, the problem with a lie is it metastasizes, and once you abandon the rule of law, then you've got dysfunctional going throughout the whole. You know, the whole project here. And this is why, you know, it's so confusing to people and wondering. They say, wait a minute, we're a hospitable people. We're a nation of immigrants. We've always welcomed people when people have problems. Boy, one of the first countries to go out and offer money and support is always America. But at this point right now, in light of you know, already illegal immigrants that we have in the country, the dangers that have come along with it, people who've come in the country that are not, first of all, they don't respect our laws. Secondly, some of them just want to stay here, and that's okay, I guess, as long as you know. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the three types of foreigner who comes in. I mean, the ultimate foreigner that we want is the true immigrant that says, look, I want to assimilate. I want to add to the proposition of the great American experiment. The ones we don't want are the ones that want to come here and do us harm.
Well, I think that's right. I think there's also a deeper problem as well, which is, of course, in America, we no longer have been very, I mean, we're not clear with our own people on what it means to be American. It's not like we have a really robust civics education program so that people who are born in this country and are clearly citizens know what that means.
Exactly.
We have a postmodern vision of culture and of ethnicities and what it means to be human. And so right now, there's not even a clear agreement on who we are as a people. And as I agree with Oz, again, as Oz is written that in the last couple of books of his, that one of the greatest needs that we have is a rebirth of civics, of kind of a civic education.
Exactly.
Who are we as Americans? What does that even mean? We can't even answer that question. And again, I agree completely. There's nothing inherently wrong whatsoever with a government, with a country wanting to defend its borders. This, mm-hmm. it's foolish not to. And we've seen that, you know, across the world and throughout history. At the same time, we do need to fix that the immigration system. And it's not just about this caravan, it's not just about these immigrants. And while many of those who do enter the country illegally have ill intention, others are dealing with a system. We all have friends and colleagues and relatives who've either, you know, married someone from outside the country or something like mm-hmm. that. And dealing with the system itself is a nightmare. It's not an easy system to stand in line for. And with the amount of information we have, that needs to be fixed as well. And so that's my point. It's just a holistic problem from top mm-hmm. to bottom. And right. I think it starts with the clarity of what it means to be an American.
Without a doubt.
What kind of country mm-hmm. do we have?
You
Who are we assimilating
yeah.
people to be?
Exactly.
And until we can figure that problem out, it's going to be hard to fix any others.
Well, and to your point on this, I mean, and we've been talking about this quite a bit lately on the show, and it's interesting you should bring it up. You know, the division in this country, the tribalism, the hyphenation. I want to get hyphenation and send it in the same place we need to send political correctness. Because that takes away from that whole idea what you're talking about. You know, what is it to be an American? You know, can people really articulate that? I mean, right now we have a divide in the country that says, okay, I believe in the Constitution. Others don't necessarily, or they believe in their version of the Constitution, and or none at all. And, you know, to the point now where you've got a growing number of people that say, hey, you know, I want to try socialism. Go, okay, but, you know, it doesn't. Socialism and the principles of socialism do not align with the U.S. Constitution. But if you don't have a civics understanding, then you consider those kind of options, right?
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. In fact, the thing we hear about what it means to be an American is all the mistakes that America made in its history. And certainly America made mistakes, but there's a vision for how we live together as a people. There's also lessons from history about when socialism has been tried, and it has never worked. In fact, it has never lifted people out of poverty. It's only pushed entire groups of people further and deeper into poverty. It hasn't brought any sense of human flourishing. It puts the government in the place of mediating social structures and local civic institutions like family and church and charitable organizations and voluntary groups and so on. It puts the government in that place. And the government can't do that well.
That's right.
There's things that the government is ordained to do, and there are things that other institutions are ordained to do. This is what the great theologian, we consider Abraham Kuyper to kind of be the patron saint of the Colson Center because he was such a big influence on Chuck Colson. But he had this idea called sphere sovereignty, that within the various spheres of society, there are God-given structures and also authorities. And when one sphere interferes with another, either steps in, or when one sphere fails and another sphere has to step in and take over the responsibilities of that sphere, then things really go awry and it can become problematic. Well, socialism is built on the wrong idea about what institutions exist and why they matter. And when you start start with that big of a fail. But again, this is based on a vision of what it means to be human that our founders embraced. I mean, you have this remarkable statement, a statement, by the way, that wasn't even lived out in the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal. I mean, we weren't even able to live that out for a couple hundred years, but it was an ideal that was better than our culture was at the time. And it gave us a higher trajectory to attain to. But we don't get a higher trajectory in education. And so, again, we can make short-term fixes, stopping this caravan or fixing that law or building that wall, but these are short-term fixes. And even as a conservative, I believe in strong borders, and I believe in needing to know who's entering our country and why. And I also want to be really clear that that's a short-term issue. The longer-term issue is who we are as a nation and what sort of people are we going to be.
Yeah, without a doubt. John Stonestreet is with us. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. More from John after this.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
You call me out from the grave, so I can live like I've been trained. There is a new song in my soul, and it begins when I breathe in your word of life.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. John Stone Street is with us. John, of course, is the president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host. John, as you were mentioning, the issues that we have, it's kind of like my kids say, you know, why don't you just do what God says? You know, what a novel concept. I mean, when you think about the early founding of this country, no doubt about it, time and again, our leaders thank the hand of divine providence. They knew in and of themselves, as smart as they could be, seemingly, they knew that some of the things that they were coming up with was inspired by the Holy Spirit, God himself, to create this unique experiment that would be a light on a shining hill, and that was going to give an opportunity, certainly, number one, to protect Israel, and number two, to raise potentially the boats of other countries.
Well, that's right. But by and large, it does. The main thing that a religion brings to a society, and again, this is whether you actually believe in God or don't believe in God. This, what I'm trying to argue for here, obviously I do, and I think Christianity is not just a belief in God, but the right belief in God. But historically, you can also look back and say, look, a culture, a society that doesn't acknowledge God and the role that God plays is a society then that has no higher authority but the government. Right. So we assume then that the government is the one that grants rights. We assume then that the government is the one that determines right and wrong. And there's no higher vision. There's nothing more. And that would be okay if humans weren't, inherently fallen, if there weren't a tendency for corruptive power. As Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, if we lived in a different reality, a different world in which humans weren't, that didn't tend towards selfishness and when it comes to riches and power and abuse of power, when it comes to authority and so on. But we live in that world, and so that's why religion brings so much good to a society, and you can look back on it and say, well, look, here's what it does. It gives us, first of all, something else that government is responsible to. So government is not the end-all. Government is not the end. It's a means towards a way of life, and it actually itself is responsible to a higher vision. That actually is really helpful when you're talking about a group of people who inherently tend towards an abuse of power, an abuse of influence, and so on. And it also gives us something greater than the government when it comes to human rights. And that's been really historically the great role that religion has played in societies, top to bottom. And even a secularist or an atheist should be able to acknowledge this. In fact, I can at least point to two who did. The great atheist philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche recognized that the concept of human rights can't be grounded in a non-religious view of the world. It owes itself to Christianity. More recently, atheist philosopher Luc Ferry, who's a professor of philosophy at the University of Paris, has said that that's a great contribution Christians gave to the world, this idea that humans were equal in dignity. And you got to have an inherent dignity, something internal, because externally, you just got to look around and see that we're not equal, right? Right? I am not equal with Kobe Bryant or LeBron James as much as I might think in my own head. And so that's what religion brings. It's brilliant. It gives us an inherent sense of human worth and dignity, and that is a better structure for society.
And with that, in terms of just the core of religion, God institutes his church to be the bastion of truth. And as you were talking earlier, I've talked about it, you talked about in global spheres of content of what each institution was responsible for. And I talked about it in terms of staying in your lane. This is something that God has been talking to me about. And the church itself being in its proper operational, functional lane of being a bastion of the truth, in a society that says truth is relative. If there's no counter narrative to a relevant truth, and the church doesn't the church has authority and position to stand for the truth. If it fails to do that, then we've got problems. And I think that's contributed to this. And, you know, not only has, as Americans, we've lost our way and understand what it's like to be an American, it's also, I think, for people of faith to understand and appreciate. I mean, we want to condemn the church. Oh, we got problems here. We got that. You know, it's all that human perspective. But what did God say? Why did God establish the church? And he said, it is so powerful, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I don't know how many churches could stand up to the gates of hell right now. That's only a rhetorical question. But it's also hopefully a question of encouragement. It says, yeah, that's right. We should be standing up. This is our rightful position. This is the lane that God has given us to operate in.
Well, that's right. And if we don't operate in that lane, we're not loving our neighbor well. And that's what's so frustrating to me when I hear churches sitting out elections. You know, I tell the story a lot. I'm going to continue to tell it, mostly because it's personal, but also because it's indicative and infuriating. Then in 2016, when my state of Colorado, was wrestling with doctor-assisted suicide and what to do with that, you know, two pastors of two of the largest churches in Colorado Springs told me that that's too political.
Wow.
And you think, well, wow, how is that loving those who are most vulnerable?
Mm.
How is that loving, those who are victims? Because the state is jumping in and determining what's right and wrong. The state is jumping in and changing the vows that doctors made to help and never harm. The state is jumping in and into the middle of family and saying, no, loved ones shouldn't have a say in this. It's between, the doctor and the patient, or vice versa. I mean, this is, again, the government taking over too many lives.
Exactly.
Nothing has caused more hardship on a global scale, on a mass scale, than when the government takes over all the lanes. So when the church fails to take its lane, when the church says, well, I'm going to deal with the personal private side of spirituality and not deal with the public reality of moral truth and how it, you know, should organize our lives together. Then the church is failing to love its neighbor well. It's failing to point non-believers to something bigger than the state. It actually ends up, by the way, pointing non-believers to the state as the answer for
exactly.
all of their problems and the salvation for all of their sins. So there's nothing. I mean, it's really not only a dereliction of duty, it's actually, it can really get in the way of preaching a true gospel, which is the irony, right? Because that's
right.
what we hear, is that if I get too involved in politics, it'll take my attention off the gospel. Well, of course, if you get too involved in politics, it can take your attention off the gospel. And we've seen examples of that. We see examples of that in our time and place right now. But the answer is not to completely withdraw from issues of public morality.
No.
The world needs the voice of the church.
Exactly, without a doubt, and that's why Karl Barth back in the 16th century said he went to the pulpit with the Bible in one hand, the newspaper in the other. Felt that, believed that his lane, as he saw it, was we're supposed to be transformational agents of God. This is what the church is to be. And so if we're not taking on the truth, and if we're doing what Romans cautions us to do, or says that happens, and that is there's an exchange of the truth for a lie, this is all part and parcel of what we're dealing with. I mean, one of the things, John, I struggle with here, and have been for a while, you know, in talking to our audience, is that, you know, we say this is a government of, for, and by we the people. You know, what does that mean? But that the people need to stay activated, staying in their lane of activation and authority to hold their government accountable. But if they don't do that, just like you said, they check out for whatever reason. And for me, it's just disheartening. I hear these stories as well, and I feel what you're saying here, John, that the church of all people, I mean, you know, we already know by numbers, only 50% of the church will bother to register to vote. That's at the top line. John Stone Street, president of the Colson Center, Breakpoint co-host. John, where can they go for more information?
Come to breakpoint.org, breakpoint.org, and you can find our daily commentary and different programs and courses that we offer to help people understand their faith better.
Amen. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. When you go to the voting booth this November, or you're filling out your early ballot, ask yourself this question before you pull the lever or check the box. Are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? If you are, then vote Republican. If not, then pull the lever for somebody else. Remember, we are Republicans, and we stand for you.
It's your turn to be heard. Stand up for America and join us on November 6th. Pull the lever for freedom and justice. Vote Republican. Sponsored by Dan Perkins.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
To Republicans lately, he is the rallier in chief. The president holding another Make America Great Again rally last night, this one in Columbia, Missouri, telling the crowd as he discusses North Korea.
We would be in a nuclear war right now if the right person didn't come along. So we're doing well. We're doing well.
And focusing a lot of his remarks on another issue.
The president talking about his top priority, securing the border and not allowing people in the caravan into our country.
USA Radio's Robin Walensky there. The NFL's San Francisco 49ers won't identify a cheerleader who took a knee during the national anthem before last night's game against Oakland. The movement of players taking a knee started with the Niners when former QB for the team Colin Kaepernick started doing it back in 2016. This is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
How's that kitchen remodel coming along?
I haven't found a reliable contractor and have no idea where to start.
What about HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor. They match you to pre-screened and top-rated pros for any kind of home project. You can even check pricing and book appointments online.
What's the catch?
No catch. HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Really? I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
HomeAdvisor.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back to America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. As always, for more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. Hey, look who we have with us on a Friday. Hey, Bob Waliszewski, but also he's going to be with us on, we're going to kind of bookend him coming up here because we got some important topics to talk about. We're going to talk about the uptick in dark movies, R-rated movies. Kind of amazing. Have you noticed? Of course you have, especially if you have children, how much more difficult it is if you want to take the kids out to the movie, and you got to wade through all these R-rated listings of movies. But we're going to get into that in a moment. But before we do, we know we have a very critical midterm election coming up. And Robert, I want to bring you on first. Bob Waliszewski, of course, the head of media department at Plugged, and also the director of PluggedIn.com at Focus on the Family. I wanted to address what your president, Jim Daly, talked about. The ordinary voter has extraordinary power. And we need to really consider that. If we didn't appreciate that in the last election on November of 2016 with the election of Donald J. Trump, we need to really see, as Donald Trump announced to everybody, this is a government of, for, and by we the people, and it is back in the hands of we the people. So even more so, the ordinary voter has extraordinary power, does he not?
Yeah, and, you know, we are talking to listeners who have decided for some reason to sit this one out. You know, they're like, it's messy. I don't know what to do with these local amendments and some of those issues. But, you know, this is the one thing that we all can do, all 325 million of it, well, of course not all 325 million are old enough to vote, but of those that live in the United States that are old enough to vote, it's the one thing we all can do. It's the one thing we all should do. So I hope right now any listeners who's on the fence who said, you know, I'm registered, but I haven't been planning on it, I'm going to sit this one out, see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone says, you know, this may be the most important election of our lifetime, but if it's not the most important, it's got to be up in the top four. Yeah. So,
yeah, without a doubt. And the thing is, this whole idea, you know, this colloquial saying of, oh, I don't want to hold my nose and vote, and that's a cop-out. You have to engage. I mean, the Constitution lays it right before you. I mean, if you're an American and you're a citizen, it really commands you. It says this is a government of, for, by, we the people. By virtue of that very statement, it commands us to engage this government, to control it and offer its direction. If you don't, then you've had the government that we've had previously that everybody was yelling and screaming about. And the other thing too, Robert, that bugs me is that people won't vote and then they want to complain.
Yeah.
No, come on.
Well, and Jim Daly did an article, "The Power of One Vote," and in the history of the U.S., there have been some contests that have been won on a vote or two, or 300 or 400, or in some cases national elections, which are in the thousands.
Yes.
You know, and of course, when some people hear thousands, they say, "Well, then that doesn't matter. It's in you know, my one vote won't matter." But you just never know what this will come down to.
Exactly.
And if everyone who cares about the country, who prays for this country, who feels that that, you know, even though God will work no matter what party is in power, it's, I get that, but at the same time it behooves us to care about these issues, the local issues, the state issues, the national issues, the congressional races, and get at that. I know my wife and I did early voting. We've turned ours in some time ago, and so
Well, and as you say, I mean, the thing is that really stands out in some cases, for example, people of faith. This is a documented number, Bob. Only 50% of people in the pew that you go to church with will actually register to vote. Okay, and of that 50%, 50% again actually go to vote. That's pretty ridiculous when you think about it, especially for faith, people of faith, because when you look historically at situations in our government, the historic landmarks, Bob, at every historic landmark, who's led the way for change? Who's led the way to reinforce the right thing in our culture? It's been people of faith consistently. So we need people of faith especially, but I say all need to go out and vote. November the 6th, that's going to be on Tuesday. All right, and by the way, read that article. Go to Focus on the Family. Go to the website, focusonthefamily.com. Check out Jim Daly's blog and read that Ordinary Voter Has Extraordinary Power. It'll give you some new insight and appreciation for one Mitch McConnell and how close this country came for not having Mitch McConnell. And if we didn't have Mitch McConnell, would we have Judge Gorsuch or Kavanaugh, right? Exactly. Yeah, so a lot of credit to this one man and one vote, ladies and gentlemen. They all add up. Let's talk about what's going on in the theaters. I mean, a lot of R-rated films coming out. You know, it's amazing how Hollywood continues to insist to turn these out. And, you know, and of course, Ted Baer with Movie Guide has reported time and again the research that, you know, Christian movies per capita, you know, or per theater have done far superior than these R-rated movies. But I guess it's not about money as far as Hollywood is concerned.
Yeah, just a little tweak to what you just said. Ted Baer's research found that PG and PG-13 films actually have performed about double what an average R has done historically. Not Christian movies necessarily.
Right. Right.
For instance, Indivisible, which came out last Friday. I got an email yesterday from one of the studio reps saying, hey, we're so disappointed, but please, you know, use your pulpit to get the word out so we can get people in the theaters, you know, because this is an important movie.
Yes,
and that has been it's gone back and forth. You get an I Can Only Imagine making $83 million, and then you get an Indivisible last week that makes $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but anyway, what come to find out that the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, was actually founded 50 years ago, November 1st. And so it's 50 years old. With that, they also released some statistics of how many movies they've rated in the 50 years. And come to find out that it's right touching 30,000 films in that time, which, if you do the math, is 600 movies per year. Plugged In covers about 225 of those films. There's a lot of small films, indie films, documentary films that no one ever sees. We don't cover. But if it's wide release, we cover. So anyways, out of that 30,000 films, surprise, surprise, even surprise to me, 58% of them, or 17,202 of those films, were rated R. So, and then you put that stat back in that Ted Baer gave us a few years ago when he did the research that says that PG and PG-13 typically outperform an R-rated film 2-1. You start wondering, then why in the world the studios even release R-rated films? Exactly. You know, don't you open up more of an audience with a PG-13 than a PG? And I say absolutely you do. Mm-hmm. I think part of the answer, Bill, and I, we probably could do a whole hour show trying to figure out what studios are thinking of when they, you know, for instance, there's some films that they have like five F-bombs. Otherwise, it'd be a PG-13. It's like, You guys, cut it down. You know, take them all out, and then you'll get a PG-13, and more people will go see your film.
Exactly.
But I think it's because, in many cases, the directors feel it's an ego-stroking thing. I'm more artistic, and people that appreciate good films want an R-rated film because that's the baseline where you start. And yet, time and time again, the money makers, the top 10 films in the nation, are rarely R-rated.
Yeah. Well, amazing, Bob. You know, I remember my dad would always say that it's not very creative to cuss. It doesn't take a lot of creativity to
be nasty. I heard that same thing growing up.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, when you're out of words and you can't think of anything in the English language, you know, the people default to that. We can do better than that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, look at comedians. I mean, you know, when you and I were growing up, you know, the likes of Red Skelton and some of these other comedians, you know, Bob Hope and that, I don't ever recall ever hearing, you know, an F-bomb out of either one of those.
No.
And they were adored, and people loved them. And now today, the comedians, I mean, you can tell when they panic. When they panic, all of a sudden the F-bombs come flying out. And you go, well, that's not funny. And people laugh.
Which is not what we're talking about. But, the cheapest way to get a laugh is to, you know, say something sleazy, you know.
Well, we got to leave it right there. Bob, where can they go for more information?
PluggedIn.com.
Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family. I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor. True story. He goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's #1 job site. Source.com score total visits.
When you go to the voting booth this November, or you're filling out your early ballot, ask yourself this question before you pull the lever or check the box. Are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? If you are, then vote Republican. If not, then pull the lever for somebody else. Remember, we are Republicans, and we stand for you.
It's your turn to be heard. Stand up for America and join us on November 6th. Pull the lever for freedom and justice. Vote Republican. Sponsored by Dan Perkins.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, and it's great to have Doug Hershey back with us, author of Israel Rising. Doug, good to have you back. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
And congratulations again. I love your book, Ancient Prophecy, Modern Lens, Israel Rising. It's just such a gorgeous book, and we've talked about this before. You know, now that it's been on, you know, out for, you know, most of the year, share with us some of the feedback you're getting.
You know, it's really been surprising. I mean, I've had really great responses from both Christian and Jewish audiences. I'm getting contacts from emails from around the world. I just last week got a Facebook message from somebody in Malaysia that was holding a picture of my Israel Rising, of the book. Wow. And just telling me that, you know, they think they might be the first person in Malaysia to actually have the book in the country, which is pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it's literally going around the world, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, and that is so neat when you get people taking pictures of your book and, you know, sharing it with you like this. But and that's terrific. Congratulations on it, Doug. I wanted to talk to you about you know, the shooting in the synagogue and what happened.
Yeah.
And it seems that again, let's draw some, you know, truth bearing on this deal outside of the mainstream media's influence and their hatred of Donald Trump. Let's give me your read on this.
Yeah, you know, at least politically, I mean, that's a whole other monster. But I mean, just the fact that this shooting happened during what's called a bris, which is on the eighth day when boys are circumcised according to Moses' instruction. These are Jewish people that are keeping to the covenant, and the attack happens during this covenant keeping process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what was most surprising for me, at least, that should cause both Jews and Christians to sit up, that this was an attack not just simply on Jewish people in a synagogue during Shabbat or having service. This was an attack during a biblical ritual of a representation of a covenant with God. And so that in itself, to me, is really stunning.
And I'm glad you cleared that up, Doug, because I heard both things. I heard there was a bris. I also heard it was Shabbat. And so, but in fact, it was a BRIS. So that confirms that. And I appreciate you, you know, clearing that up. Now, here's this individual who comes in. Of course, he had made some statements in social media that he was out to kill Jews. And I got to tell you, Doug, with all the things that they're talking about, the bitterness in our country and the tribalism that's been taking place, I'm surprised that nobody has said anything about the BDS movement coming out of our universities.
Yeah, you know, and some of the craziness that I'm sure you've been hearing as well in regards to Trump's influence on the whole thing. I mean, Trump has children and grandchildren that are Jewish. He's the first sitting president to ever pray at the Western Wall. He got America out of the that awful Iran deal when Iran was just openly and publicly saying we're looking to destroy Israel. And so, you know, to consider that he is behind or even just simply influencing any type of anti-Semitic behavior in this country is really pretty silly. Mm-hmm. And really just with the whole BDS movement and things that are coming against Israel, they've been remarkably quiet during this time.
Mm-hmm. For those of you that are hearing BDS, maybe because I was surprised at how many people I spoke with in the past week that didn't understand that it stands for boycott, divest, and sanction. And this is a philosophy and a movement that has been promoted on the college campuses. Our kids are getting indoctrinated, and you've got this anti-Semitic movement all rallying around those three letters.
Yeah, and really, I mean, just for your listeners to clarify, what that really means is that they're boycotting, divesting any type of investments, and just looking to sanction anything that's coming out of Israel. And so, it really has nothing to do with actual goods. It has really a whole lot more to do. Even the guy that started the BDS movement has been very vocal about this. It's not even really so much about goods as it is about being against Israel. And so.
Yeah.
At its core, it's very anti-Semitic. It's very anti-Zionist, and basically that, you know, Jewish people should be hunted down wherever they're at, and that's really the philosophy of the guy that was in at Pittsburgh for the shooting.
Exactly, and those people that if they haven't already will soon realize that God is true to His word. He told Abraham, he said, those that will bless you will be blessed, those that curse you will be cursed. We look back in history and see that God's word and pattern has been straight to His word. I mean, there's been no deviation. Just because sometimes, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, sin is not, reprimanded, or it's not, the consequences of sin are not realized immediately. They have a tendency to snowball, and people think that they can get away with it. But, God's not going to let people get away with attacks on the apple of His eye.
Yeah, indeed. And really, I guess what's really significant about that, and I guess shocking, is that the Anti-Defamation League reported in 2017 that the statistics of anti-Semitic attacks has risen 60% in the last year. It's the largest jump ever since they've been keeping records. And every state in the country has been affected. And so it's not just an isolated thing of here and there. It's happening on a couple of college campuses. And yeah, the shooting is really awful. But life goes on. I mean, this is a dramatic trend that's beginning to change. And unfortunately, it's something that we're already have been seeing in Europe for really the last several years. The percentages of anti-Semitism in Europe, in places like France and Belgium and Sweden and Iceland, some of these places, they're exceeding what they were in World War II. And so it's really becoming a time to not just sit by and kind of hope it goes away, but to really begin looking at ways that, you know, what do we do and how should we respond, especially even as Christians? What are we supposed to do?
Exactly. Well, we know from the Bible there is prophecy that addresses this, and I keep looking for those hooks. And Doug, this may be the hooks that draw them into confrontation, somehow that they think and disrespect Israel so much that they think they can overrun Israel, and this may be part of the hooking process that God spoke about.
It very well could be. I mean, one of the most repeated promises in the scriptures is that God will return His people to the land. And if you follow really the history of the last 100 years, especially within Europe and parts of Asia, part of what he's used to help encourage the Jewish people coming back to the land has been things like this. And even in 2008, when the whole Lehman Brothers crisis and there's a bit of a financial crash, the immigration of Jewish people making Aliyah or becoming Israeli citizens, coming back to the land of Israel, increased by 15 to 20% just because of the financial pressure. And so it was happening in the United States. Israel wasn't experiencing the financial crash nearly as much because their banking system is quite a bit more conservative than what we use in the West. But point being is that God has always often used pressure throughout Europe, throughout North America, really anywhere, whether it be threats of physical violence or financial or, you know, other things to really begin pushing his people back to the land. And it's happening at an astounding rate right now, both in anti-Semitism rise, but also with immigration back to Israel for the Jewish people. So it's sort of a good and bad thing. It's bad that it's happening. It's good that, you know, we're in a time where we're watching God's word being fulfilled, and he's keeping his promises.
A sense of faith and peace in the midst of, synagogues being shot up, that God is still in charge. It's also, we shouldn't ignore attacks on a synagogue, a temple, any religious institution. And what we should have discerned by now is that these institutions are under attack. You've got evil people running the streets of America, and they think nothing of wanting to kill Christians. Kill Jews, kill anybody for that matter. And if we continue to think that we can hold on to soft targets, gun-free zones, I know, which brings up another sense of debate, but the Bible's clear. We can defend ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the most telling things, especially for Christians, is that when you boil it down to sort of the bare bones, we both worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The foundations of the scriptures are really the same. And really the only difference is, you know, is the discussion over the Messiah. Has he come yet? Is he coming back? And that type of thing. But regardless, my point is that we're really worshiping the same God, and the attacks that and we've learned throughout history, even in World War II, the attacks that came against the Jews when Christians do by and or stand by and really do nothing, those attacks come directly against the Christians as well. And so, it's a bit of a slippery slope, but, you know, God is definitely well aware, I think, is an understatement of the things that are going on. And what right. Jesus had told us is, when you see a lot of these signs, these wars and rumors of wars and all these things happening, he's saying, be aware that the time is close. And,
these are all the birth pangs. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, God is fulfilling his word. He's doing exactly what he said that he would.
Mm-hmm. Doug's book, Israel Rising, Ancient Prophecy Through a Modern Lens, which was released in February of this year in conjunction with the 70th anniversary of Israel's rebirth, and also, kind of a celebration as it worked out, Doug, with the embassy, the U.S. Embassy, moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was really a long time coming. I mean, it was something that, as you well know, other presidents said they were going to do, and then they just kept pushing it off. But again, I mean, this president is probably one of the most pro-Israel presidents that we've ever seen in our lifetime. And I think it was a wise move. I mean, it's just simply declaring what the Bible has already made absolutely clear, is that Jerusalem is the heart and soul of the Jewish people. It's the capital of Israel. And, you know, there's really no declaration that was coming from the White House that was anything new. It was just simply recognizing biblical fact, which I think that in itself is pretty profound.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Doug Hershey, as always, we appreciate the insight as to the shooting in Pittsburgh. We continue to pray for the families and pray for
Absolutely.
The peace of Israel. Doug Hershey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue Diamond Gussets got it. Others don't.
good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's Gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
What if there was a social media network?